our opening scripture this morning. Now, some of you might not find this too pleasant, however, it's in here, and it has to do with sometimes as believers how we're treated by non-believers, or maybe even once in a while among the family of God. But this is something that God has to encourage us with, and it comes from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 through 21. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 through 21. For this is commendable, if because of conscience towards God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if, when you are beaten for your faults, you take that patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take that patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, but also suffered for us, leaving us as an example that you should follow his steps. Now, I know from working in the... When Faith and I had our business, we worked with many other contractors, carpenters, plumbers, electricians, other painters, different tradespeople, and for the most part, if it weren't for the keeping power of the Holy Spirit, if it weren't for the fact that we came to realize that not everybody's going to jump up and down and shout for joy for us because now we're Christians, there was a lot of opposition to stand against. And sometimes we found ourselves eating by ourselves. You know, when you get saved, you just don't fit in that crowd anymore. And opposition comes. And if we find ourselves where we're being persecuted or for something wrong that we've done, and we can endure that, Peter tells us that there's another side of that. If you're just because we face troubles or persecutions, it isn't always because we've done something wrong. It may very well be because we've done something right. We've taken a stand for God. And so you can't fault the unsaved. We can't, for the pressure they put on us, because in the unsaved world, it's a world of pressure. And some of you know in your workplaces that it's not a nice environment anymore, or at least not like it once was. But you also have to understand the truth of these scriptures. Don't look to God as an escape clause. Look to God to strengthen you. Look to him to enable you. Look to him to empower you to take that stand. That might very well be the reason that you're there. You're the only one that shows them there's another way of living. You're the only one that shows them that there's hope. You're the only one that can show them that you have a provider that's going to take care of you. Not only a savior, but a provider. One who is going to continue to act on your behalf, no matter how people may treat you. And I know that all of us, we don't like to be mistreated. We don't like to be verbally abused. We don't like to experience those things. But look at Jesus as our example. Look at what he did on our behalf. I remember carrying a 60-pound water tank around on my back on that golf course in Florida, and how I used to whine and fuss and moan about that. And then I got saved, and I was carrying that same 60-pound water tank around on my back filled with pesticides and herbicides and killing things of the devil, which I got great joy in doing. But also a revelation came that I just didn't need to murmur and complain about carrying that 60-pound water tank on my back all day long. That was an 18-hole golf course. It was 300 acres. And there were a lot of things that needed to be sprayed and gotten rid of. But the one thing that came to me was, I don't think Jesus complained that he carried that cross on my behalf. And I shut my mouth right there from ever complaining again about how tough that job was and how much it bothered me to carry that tank. It seemed like 55 pounds of it was just taken off, and I kept checking to see, did I spray too much? Was it empty already? And we have to get that attitude that we are here as light and we're here as salt. And sometimes we forget that and we think that the whole world is against us. Well, that's a revelation and it's the truth. They are. But it doesn't matter whether they are or they're not. What really matters is, are we defending our faith? Are we standing up for our conscience sake? Are we taking that stand and not compromising no matter the pressures? Because that's what's commendable to God. How we endure, how we stand without murmuring and complaining, because that will get us nowhere. And remember, Jesus said, whatsoever you say, that's what you're going to get. So if you get into that mindset and speaking about how bad things are, the devil probably will say, well, you ain't seen anything yet. If you think it's bad now, just wait a week. We've got to go back to our words teaching again and even remind ourselves that we are not here to please the world. We're here to please God. And sometimes there's flack for it. And we're just not used to that in America. That happens most other places in the world where people get saved and they already know what they're in for. And they still survive. They still make it. And God is faithful and He's no respecter of persons. And even in Pastor Sherrard's ministry, there's a sect of radical Hindus now that are going back into those villages where I was gone last summer in July for one or two Christians' sake, and beating them, throwing rocks at them, trying to get them to shut up, beating a couple of his workers. One was at the police station a couple of weeks ago. The work continues. And they rejoice because they know they're being effective for the works of the ministry. When you tick people off for your faith, know that you're doing them a favor. It's bringing their attention to, you're just not going to roll over and play dead. You're going to stand up. And we really, here in America, as believers, we got to quit looking for the great escape and start looking for the great deliverance. That God will get you through this. He'll get all of us through it. And not to be weak, not to look for people to feel sorry for us, because they won't, but to stand up and let the power of God keep you, just like the opening song, show your power, show it to me, Lord. Let me see that in my life, and that I know that you're the God that I can trust in, no matter what the circumstances look like. And I don't know how. Last I heard from the beginning, there were four angels on this church property, and for over 26 years, there hasn't even been so much as, I think somebody ripped off the hose one year outside, but other than that, there's been times, you know, some of us do walkthroughs after you guys all go home, and we make sure the doors are locked in the back and heat's turned down or whatever, but all of these years, sometimes we've been neglectful and left the door unlocked or the front door unlocked, but not one thing has ever been vandalized, has ever been taken. There has been no harm and no damage done to this building in 26 years. And I'll tell you, God is very, very faithful to us in the place that He's provided for us to worship. So don't lose heart when people get under your skin. Actually, just don't let them get there. You can stop that in the name of Jesus. You can go and pray in your workplace and thank God for keeping you in a right place. You don't have to wait until Sunday and then we pray for your week. You can pray on your jobs, where you're working, and tap into that power, because it's there and it's for you. In Jesus' name. Father, thank you for your word today. We are to set an example. Don't let them get to ya. Amen.
In His presence is great joy. In His presence is great, great joy. Bask in His presence now as He fills you with His love and His hope and His promise. It fills you with faith that moves mountains. Just bask in His love. Bask in His presence, for He is all that matters.
I kept sensing there was more, something else to come. Lorraine, I saw your hand. Well, it just shows how capable God is of suppressing or controlling or subduing our enemies. And even if they manifest as spirits and animals that they want to do us harm, He created them. And maybe He whispered to that dog and said, "Leave her alone, she belongs to me." I don't know. Which brings me to Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Acts 10:38. And as I read this, I'd like you to put your name in this verse of Scripture. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. How God anointed Peggy of Woodstock. How God anointed Sharon of Saxon's River. How God anointed Andy of Andover. How God anointed Karen of Chester with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good in healing all of the devil, for God was with him. And if you put your name in there, the words that Tom spoke are very relevant in describing this verse of Scripture. When our opening Scripture, we talked a little bit about getting in trouble or getting some flack for doing good. But you have to remember, you've been anointed to do good. We've been empowered to do good. We've been ordained to do good. And it doesn't matter the opposition. You can still choose to do good. Or we can compromise. But I like the purpose. In this particular verse, the word power means authority. Acts 1:8, the power is dunamis, meaning the power like of dynamite, an explosion, to function in a power that is very powerful, that you just go around blowing up things in the enemy's camp, you know? And you got to look at yourselves. We live in the proximity of the enemy's camp. It's all around us, but we're in the kingdom of God. And there are assaults, there are attacks, there are things that come against us all the time. But this tells me that we're going about doing good just like Jesus did, and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. I like that word oppressed, because I looked up what that means too, and it means under the influence of, or under the power of, or under the control of. If you're oppressed, that isn't coming from the Lord. And you have to rise up in the authority that you have and take authority over that oppression. Because if you don't, the enemy will use it. And then, once you've been pressed down and squeezed and pressured, what happens? What is the end result usually? You get mad or just frustrated and just want to walk away. You want to quit. You want to give up. You want to go somewhere else. You want to do something different. Not realizing that when you have the power and the authority to do something about it, it may not change the circumstances around you, but it changes you from coming under the effects of the circumstances around you. There's a difference. We choose what affects us. We allow it, or we put a stop to it. And that's a choice. But God has equipped us, He's enabled us, He's empowered us, He's anointed us by His Spirit, so that actually what happens is we haven't really tapped into all that's available sometimes, because our flesh gets in the way. And sometimes we don't know the difference. And our flesh gets weak. Our flesh wants to give in. Our flesh wants to lay down, put down the sword, quit fighting, quit the battle. And that's when the enemy, he's in it for the long haul. He'll be against us until the day we graduate. And we need to take the stand and the equipment that God has given us, so that oppression does not have to get on the inside of you. It doesn't have to get you in a place where you become immobile and ineffective. And I noticed that scripture very clearly tells us where it comes from. Oppressed, squeezed, pressured. Back in my hippy-dippy dope days, it was bummed out. You know, little phrases like that, but yet they're very descriptive of, I don't know why sometimes people will spend a whole day in that mindset. or a whole week. And then it becomes a lifestyle. And then they don't see life, the good things that God wants us to see, because the enemy's got them blinded by now. And all they see is the things that bother them. All they see are the things that want to pull them down. There's a difference between having things be around us than allowing those things to have us, to control us. And each one of us have been equipped to take that stand. Now, we're not always pleased with things that happen, but they don't have to get down on the inside of us to where they control us. Because you've been given the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Actually, the power of the Holy Spirit is part of your inheritance. You know, I told you Wednesday nights now, we're still in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11 talking about our inheritance. And last Wednesday, we began talking about the power that we've inherited. And we talked about how the Holy Spirit comes upon you and gives you power to be witnesses in Jerusalem and Samaria and Judea and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And how that's one of the reasons there's a conflict where you work. If you work among unbelievers, it isn't about you, it's about who lives in you. And it isn't about them, it's about who lives in them. There's a spiritual battle going on and you're caught in the middle. But you can't win a spiritual battle in the flesh. You've got to know your authority. You've got to exercise it. You've got to use it. The power that's in the name of Jesus. Did you know even before the disciples got born again and the Holy Spirit had not come to indwell people, Jesus commissioned 70 of his disciples, not just the 12, to go out, preach the gospel, heal the sick, cast out devils. And it was the power of his name. They were given the power and the authority to use his name. And if they weren't even saved yet and it worked for them, how much more will it work for us? You see, you have to learn to discern what are the spirits you're dealing with and then do something about it. When was the last time you did a prayer walk through your town? When was the last time you did a prayer walk through your neighborhood? When was the last time you did a prayer walk around your property? None? Oh, okay. That's good. That's what I'm looking for, because if we let our guard down, the enemy's just waiting to see us lower that shield of faith. Once we lower it, those flaming darts, they sting. It's like being tased by the devil. Don't tase me, bro. Me ain't our bro. But that's what happens. And so they're little because we already know these things, but how big they become when we step out in faith and exercise them and actually see these things happen. When you actually can see the victory and you can take a stand and you know how good it feels to win. It stinks to lose. Jeremiah taught us that in bowling. Oh, we like to bowl, but we like to win better. And it's nice to be a Christian, but it's nice to overcome too, not be overcome. It's nice to be more than a conqueror than to be conquered. It's nice to be free rather than in bondage. It's nice to be a servant rather than a slave. It's nice to be a saint. It's nice to be all that God says we are. And this scripture contains all that you'll ever need if you put your name in there. How God anointed you and the town that you live in. Put your name in there. You can mark in your Bible. It's okay. I said so. Not that that matters. I love turning to the yellow pages. I don't need my phone book. I have my own yellow pages. And on there, just like you do, put little notes in your margins. Make little things that will speak to you in a time of need, and come back to them as you have need. You have authority. You have power. Unlimited. The same power, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells on the inside of you and me. And think on Resurrection Day. All the bodies of them saints that came out of the ground and were walking around in Jerusalem the same day. You don't think that's power? You try that. Oh my goodness, I can't even imagine seeing Uncle Charlie out there. Wow, God, he's been dead for 12 years. What's he up doing walking around? And all the time that we neglect to think like that. We've got to learn to, we just have the word to encourage us, to remind us. Just like communion last week, as often as you do it in remembrance of me. Whenever we come together, this should be a constant reminding one another and an encouraging of one another, so that we all in our walk are all going in the same direction. And these things to me are very, very encouraging. This wasn't what I was going to talk about today. Once again, I knew something different was going to happen. I didn't know what. But your testimonies, Lorraine's, then Tom's, and the songs and everything, you know, we just waited on the Lord for that period of time. It was really quiet, because that's the time not to just run headlong into something. If we're waiting on the Lord, let's wait and see the direction that he's going to move us. Because this is how we grow together. This is how we learn. This is how we mature in our faith, where we're more led by him than we are by ourselves. So this is really good. And like I said, that's the only scripture I brought. And it was very spontaneous, but if you put your name in, it'll sure help you out. And of course, there's always power released and manifest when we pray for each other. So if you would like prayer this morning, and yes, the good news is it's still morning. There's plenty of time. If you want prayer for anything, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Come on up. Take a step of faith. God will meet you right where you're at.